It's well, it my soul. Oh, glory, 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 glory. So, sing with me, it is well. Is it well with your soul this morning? Is it well with you, Alexis? Is it well with you, Sam? It is well. It is well with my soul. No, it's in the game. And it shall be sad. But must be rolled back. As I scroll, goody, good old things. Oh, yes, Lord. The Lord shall descend. Woo! Rabba Shadalabas. It is well. Ooh, it is well with my soul. Glory to God. I'm looking for his coming. And in the meantime, it is well with my soul. Yes. It is well. It is well with my soul. Sing it with me, it is well. With my soul. It is well. It is well, my soul. Ah, somebody roar. It is well with my soul. Good morning, Sister Mary. Is it well with your soul today? Is it well with you? Is it well with your family? Is it well with you, Sam? Is it well with you, Alexis? It is well with my soul. Let's declare it this morning. It is well. It is well with my soul. Glory to God. It is well with my soul. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Let's open our mouth and declare it and thank the Lord for it this morning. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, because it is well with my soul. I thank you, Lord, today because you are my glory and the lifter up of my head. I thank you today because you have commanded the gates to be open for me. You said, open ye the gates that the righteous nation may go in. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, because you have taken away the handwriting of ordinances that was against me. You nailed it to the cross. You made an open show of principalities and powers. You triumphed over them in it. And you gave us the victory. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord, because the grave, death and hell could not hold you. Even as it is written, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Glory to God. I thank you because you stood up and came out of that grave. Glory to God. And by your death and resurrection. Oh, for you were wounded for our iniquities. Bruised, wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisements of my peace is laid upon you. And by your stripes I am healed. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, because heaven and earth you declared shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. The word which you have spoken, hallelujah, saying, I will be with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whew, glory to God. Is it well with your soul this morning, Sister Julia? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your children? It is well with my soul this morning. Come on, somebody, declare with your mouth. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Oh yes, is it well with you today? Are the lines falling unto you in pleasant places? Can your head be lifted up today? Is God, even the Lord Almighty, is he your shield? Is he your hiding place? Is he your buckler? Is he your defense and your fortress this morning? Can you say of the Lord? I will say of the Lord, he is my shield. He is my fortress. He is my buckler. He is my hiding place. Hallelujah. Has the Lord anointed your head with oil today? Is your cup running over? Or is your cup dry? Your cup will never be dry in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your cup shall be running over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you say of the Lord this morning that the Lord is my light? He is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the keeper and my shade upon my right hand. Glory to God. Can you say this morning that I know that my Redeemer delivered? I know that he, who has called me will never leave me nor forsake me. Can you make your boast in the Lord today? Glory to God. Can you lift up your voice to the heavens and let it be heard that you are in the Lord today. Glory to God. By his grace. Hallelujah. That I will follow where he leadeth. Glory to God. I will follow him. I will walk in the light. Can you declare today that I will not, my feet shall not stumble? I declare today that my mind is clear. Is your mind clear? The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Glory to God. Do you have the mind of Christ this morning? Is your mind clear? Awake today, my soul. Glory to God. Can you speak to your soul today to rejoice in the Lord? I will rejoice in the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Who is my salvation, and he has become my song. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Can you see him this morning? Can you see him in the eyes of your mind? Oh, the heavens are soon going to open up. And the Lord with a trumpet, hallelujah, of the archangel and the voice of God, he's going to swoop down. Glory to God. Appear. You know, come down into our atmosphere. And my. We will be caught up to be with him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, Lord God Almighty, help me to keep my vessel pure in the name of Jesus. I lift my vessel up to you this morning. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Hallelujah. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord, this morning. Is that your prayer even this morning? Can you ask the Lord to fill your cup this morning? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Glory to God. Fill my cup, Lord, and fill it up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Fill my cup, O Lord. Fill my cup, O Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you because you have given us access to the bread of heaven. Jesus said in his word, he said, he that overcometh, will I give the hidden manna. Ooh, the hidden manna. But you got to press in to get it. Glory to God. Do you want that hidden manna? Do you want that day star? Oh, my goodness. Do you want the rod of iron to rule the nations with? Do you want a stone with a new name written? Do you want these things that the Lord has promised? If so, then guard the heart. Guard your mind. Hallelujah. Guard them from evil. Glory to God. And be strong in the Lord. And quit ye like man, but be strong in the power of his strength. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Take my cup, Lord, and fill it up, Lord. Oh, fill me with the bread of heaven, even on this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Hallelujah. Join me this morning as we worship the Lord, as we come before his presence. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Is it well with your soul this morning, Adewoye? Is it well with your soul, Sister Gigi? Is it well with you? I want you to say, it is well with me. That's right. As you declare in my ears, said the Lord, even that shall I do unto you. On a morning such as this, just say, it is well. It is well with my soul. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord that it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Even today, I have a goodly heritage. Hallelujah. I'm a daughter of the King. Can you say that, Gigi? Can you say that, Alexis and Julia? Can you say, I am a son of the King, Sam and Adewoye? Mary, can you say, I am a child of the King of the Kings, of the Lords of all the Lords. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My name is written in heaven. Therefore, I rejoice. Oh, my goodness. I rejoice in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in the God of my Savior, because I know he's my glory, and he's a lifter up of my head. It is well with my soul today. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When you look in the mirror today, what do you see? I see the glory of God. Hallelujah. I see nothing but Jesus. That's right. That's what we must see. We must be a reflection of him. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory on here this morning. I am fired up, folks. Are you fired up? It is a good day to be fired up. Every day when you wake up, it's a good day to be fired up. I'll tell you something. I got a testimony today. I don't want to hear some testimonies from people in the room here today. You know, yesterday I was feeling tired. You know, I guess all of these early morning waking up, catching up with me. So right in the middle of the day, which doesn't happen to me, I don't get tired. I don't take a nap in the afternoon. That's not me. Never did. You know, ask my wife. I don't take a nap in the afternoon. I don't sleep. I mean, I can go. I'm just like that Energizer Bunny. I can go. I mean, I can just stay up late and all these things. But I cannot or could not wake up early in the morning until lately. But this thing, waking up early in the morning, I mean, these days for me to get up, I mean, for me to be in this room at 4:15, I'm actually getting up at 3:15. I'm getting up at 3:15. I'm psyching myself up. You know, I'm talking to the Lord and I'm saying, Lord, you know, what are we doing this morning? You know, and yesterday, my goodness, I'm sitting at work. Of course, I work from home, which is a blessing. So I'm sitting on my computer and I'm trying to get things done. And I'm falling asleep. This doesn't happen to me, folks. Glory to God. But, you know, I stand up myself in the Lord. Well, God also gave me wisdom. Go to bed early. So I went to bed. Try to go to bed early yesterday, last night. And I got up this morning. Yeah, my goodness. I was so full of energy. You know, I'm ready to take on anything. By the strength of the Lord. He said, I can do all things. So all it needs is a little rest. Glory to God. So when you are feeling weary, when you feel like an owl, you know, in the desert, a pelican in the wilderness, when your days feel like the shadow that is declining, why don't you just take a minute and praise him and rest before the Lord. Jesus said it himself. You know, he said, look, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. Because there were many people coming and going, and there was not even so much leisure as to eat. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Jesus said unto his disciples, you know, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. You know, we must take that rest. And we must take that break. We cannot, you know, people say, body is not a machine. You cannot, you know, you're going to wear yourself. You know, the great prophet Moses, I mean, he was going to wear himself out. He wasn't using wisdom. And so, you know, he took his father-in-law to come and tell him that look. And that man was not even like him, you know, somebody that knew the Lord and so on. And he came and Jethro had to come and tell him, he said, look, you will kill yourself and you're going to wear these people out the way you're just doing this thing. All day long, you are there. You are the one, little things, great things, big things, everything is dumped on your head. Yet you also have to teach the people commandment. You can't do this. And so he said, look, Let me give it to you. Let me say it to you this way. If it seem good to your ears, and if the Lord tell you so, of course, he recognized that the man is a man of God, you know, and he had to hear from God. But yet he put it out there. Look, here's what you might consider doing. Ask the Lord and see if he tells you so. But here's my piece. You know, set the people in order, you know, in tens, in fifties, in hundreds, and so forth like that. And appoint captains over them, you know, that we judge them and handle these matters. And only the things they cannot handle, and in the things of the commandment of the word of the law, we have to deal with it. But otherwise, you will wear everybody out. You will kill yourself too. And Moses said, oh my goodness, why didn't I think of that? You know, so, you know, we need rest. Glory to God. And there remaineth a rest for the people of God. And I tell you what, rest is so refreshing. I mean, you just a little bit of rest, coming apart and just, you know, drop everything and just rest. I mean, I'm talking of even natural rest. Just take rest, you know, and you come out so refreshed. And I came up this morning, I am so refreshed. Glory to God, you know, recharged, ready to go. Thank you, Jesus. Now, and I say this morning, it is well with my soul. Good morning, Sister Elaine. Is it well with you this morning? Is it well with your soul, Yvette? Yes, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Take my cup, Lord, and fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me to life. Want no more. Take my cup, Lord, and fill it up, Lord, and make me whole. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feel me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feel me every day, every day. Take my cup, Lord, oh, fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting, this yearning in my soul. Bread of heaven and living waters, the living fountain, let me drink till I want no more. Take my cup, Lord, and I lift it up. Oh, make me. Oh, is that your prayer this morning? Glory to God. Is it well with your soul? Do you want even more of him? I want more of you, Lord. Ooh, I want more of you this morning. Good morning and welcome to the room. Let's share the room. I've been so carried away. We're just thanking him this morning. I haven't even shared the room, not even on Clubhouse yet. So I'm going to take a minute. I am going to share the room. Share the room with me. Just share it on Clubhouse and let people know you're here. And then you may choose to even also invite people, you know, and we're going to be blessed this morning. I want you also to come, you know, and join me on stage this morning. Give a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Don't be shy. Come and say something to the Lord's hearing this morning. Say it. Let him hear it. Declare it that thou mightest be justified. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, I love it. And I've quoted it often in these rooms. You heard it many times if you've been here. Isaiah 43:26. Let us plead together. I even did a room called Just That. Let us plead together. Declare it, that you may be justified. You know, every time, you know, that you can come in His presence. And every time you can open your mouth and declare some good thing that the Lord has done. There's more good thing than coming to you, coming your way. And today I say that Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. Glory to God. He is coming your way today. Jesus of Nazareth. Glory to God. Well, don't let Him pass you by. You know, that's a proverb from my neck of the woods where I grew up at, you know, and we say, look, when you're saying, you know, when you're praying this prayer of Jesus, don't pass me by. It's not a prayer that you pray on your knees with your head down. You got to get up and run after the man and you say, don't pass me by, you know. So we got to get up this morning. Glory to God. We got to get up. Grand rising to everybody. I know some of you, like Sister Elaine, you're already about, maybe it's more than 11:30, maybe 11:40 where you are. And others, you know, depending on where you are, it's later in the day. For those of us that are just getting up, it's grand rising. But today is a good day. Hallelujah. And every day can be a good day. You just get up in the morning and declare it. Declare it so. Because, you know, Jesus told them, He said, look, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day. The Lord is Lord of every day. The Lord is Lord. Man was not created for the day. It was the other way around. That day was created for us. So this day must be subject. I command the day to be subject to me in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. You know, God speaking to Job, asked him some questions. He said, look, who is this that darkeneth, you know, knowledge by lack of understanding and darkness speech by lack of knowledge? Can you lift up your voice to the heavens and command things to happen? Absolutely. The answer is yes. You know, I mean, why God was asking Job those questions, it actually reveals to us all the things that we can do. You know, can you, you know, do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Why, absolutely. Can you set the dominion of them upon the earth? Yes. You know, I'm going to tell you a story of some people in the Bible that did exactly that today. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, if you understand these things, you can, Jesus said it, you know, that all things are possible to him that believeth. The Bible says it in Isaiah 45. He said, look, ask me of things to come, and even concerning the works of my hands. Command you me. You know, I mean, the Lord gives us the power to do that concerning the works of his hands. How can you command the Lord? Well, he said it, you know, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Glory to God. You know, and he said, look, I will go before thee. I will make the crooked places straight. My goodness. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and I will cut in sunder the bars of iron. And listen to this. And I will give thee one day when the Lord permits me. I've been wanting to do this, but it's not yet. I will talk about the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, I am the God. Hallelujah. Even the very God of Israel. He said, drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them bring forth salvation. Let salvation spring up together. I have the Lord, I commanded it. Oh, glory to God. And he says, yeah, thus said the Lord in verse 11. I'm reading from Isaiah 45. The Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Glory to God. And he said, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. Glory to God. They shall come after you in chains, shall they come over. They shall fall down to thee, they shall make supplication to thee, and they will say, surely God is in thee. And there is none else. There is no God. My goodness. There is no God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, everyone. You can tell that I am fired up this morning. And are you fired up? Are you fired up? Are you ready to go? I am so fired up and I am so ready to go, and the Lord is good, you know. And I'm already preaching and sharing out of my heart this morning. But I want to hear from you also today. You know, let's make it a testimony day. I've got a lesson that I'm going to bring, but I encourage you, you know, throughout this room today, raise your hand, come to the stage and give a shout out to the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord, he loves that when we do that. So I encourage you to do that today. I encourage you to open your mouth and declare it so that you may be justified. You know, but right now, I want to ask you, is it well with your soul, Sister Tricia? Is it well with you this morning? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your children? Is it well with you, Frybert? Sorry, I didn't say your name right. Is it well with you? Is it well with you, Chris, this morning? Is it well with everyone that's in the room this morning? Honey, is it well with you this morning? Is it well with your soul? Can you say of the Lord, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help?
Yes.
My help comes from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is it well with your soul this morning? If it is well with your soul,
put something
in the chat room. I want somebody, I want everybody. Say something, show some excitement in your soul, from your soul this morning. Show some excitement. You know, is it well with your soul this morning? We sang that song at the beginning of the room today, saying, it is well with my soul. Just joining late, we sang that song. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul this morning? Let it be well with your soul this morning. Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray over this room this morning in the name of Jesus. And I ask, oh Lord, that your presence will flow. Glory to God. Let your presence flow. Hallelujah. 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 Let your presence flow in here this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And let there be a lifting up for the people of God this morning. Stir our hearts up. Let our words and the words of our mouth, the meditations of our hearts this morning, and throughout this day, let everything be acceptable before you, O Lord God, our Redeemer, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for those who have gone ahead of us, champions of faith, that we can read their stories and we can, you know, learn and be, you know, we can be encouraged. We can stir ourselves up to believe God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. This morning, in Jesus' name. Welcome, everyone. I am going to get right to this today. Feel free as we go along to share the room. Please do that. Let others come and be blessed. And if they're blessed, it'll be to your reward because you invited them in. So share the room this morning. Share it on Clubhouse. Share it and invite people. Glory to God. But I'm starting right away. Today, I want to talk about unusual faith that brings uncommon results. So that's our topic this morning. Unusual faith, uncommon results. Now, throughout the Bible, we see there are all kinds of faith. I'm going to talk about all kinds of faith too this morning. Now, faith is a subject that is dear to my heart. I'm passionate about the subject of faith. Why? Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we know that, you know, Jesus was never pleased with, you know, the weak faith, the little faith, the doubting faith. But when he saw great faith, he was impressed. You know, so we have all kinds of faith in the Bible. We have common faith. We have little faith. We have weak faith, you know, and then we even have relentless faith, those who will not give up. We have even vicarious faith when somebody believes for somebody else. You know, we have great faith. We have, you know, potent faith. We have unusual faith. We even have translative faith. Glory to God. All these kinds of faith are described in the lives of people throughout the Bible. And we're going to consider some of their stories this morning to elevate our own faith this morning, to know that these people were men of like passion and they did great things. Some of them walked with God. You know, Enoch walked with God. It was translated that he should not see death. And many other people that we're going to talk about today. But let's start at the beginning. There is common faith. Now, common faith, everybody has that. You know, we're told in the book of Romans, chapter 12, you know, and verse 3, there is a measure of faith that is dealt to everyone. So we call that, or I call that, common faith. You know, it says, I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. So this measure of faith, I call it common faith. Everybody has that. In fact, if you don't have it, you can't be saved. So because it takes faith to be saved. So there is some measure of faith that everybody has. Everybody. It's a measure. It's called a measure of faith, but I call it common faith. In this lesson today, I'm calling that common faith. So that's, you know, the base. That's like the baseline. You know, everybody should have that. Praise God. You know, so, and this common faith, the scripture also called it, you know, I mean, it's something that's just there. I mean, people traditionally can, you know, bring up their children with this common faith. You know, when you're a believer and you have, you know, you get children, you pass on this common faith to them, you know, because you just teach them to believe God, teach them the things of God, and so on. It's still common faith. You can see that in, you know, Paul was talking about, when he was talking to Timothy, he said, look, 2 Timothy 1 and 5, I call to remember as the unfeigned faith, you know, that's in thee, which dwell first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I persuaded is in thee also. So this is faith, you know, it's just been there. You know, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily too dramatic. You know, the grandmother passed it on to, you know, Lois, the grandmother passed it on to Eunice, and Eunice passed it on to Timothy, and, you know, it's all there, and it's all good, you know. So that's what I choose to call common faith. Now, this common faith is also described in Titus chapter 1, verse 4. It said to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. So, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. So, this common faith. So, that's one kind of faith. Now I'm going to be talking about all kinds of faith this morning. And as we go through, welcome Sister Pearl. Is it well with you today? Brother Kolapo, is it well with you? I've been asking everybody that's been coming into the room whether it is well with them. You know, if it is well with you, declare it. You can put it in the chat room. It is well with me. It is well with my family. It's well with my wife. It's well with my children, whatever. Praise God. All right. So as we go into this, we're talking about unusual faith and uncommon results. And I'm talking about all kinds of faith that we see throughout the Bible. The first one that I'm talking about now is common faith. You know, common faith, which everybody should have. We've all been dealt a measure of faith. So no big deal there. Everybody should have this faith. In fact, if you don't have this faith, you cannot be saved. Because for by faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace we are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is so fundamental, and that's common faith. You know, everybody should have that. We also see that there were what Jesus called little faith. You know, many times Jesus was not impressed with his disciples. There are many stories in the Bible. I'm just going to paraphrase them for the sake of time. But he said, you know, many times, O ye of little faith, you know, wherefore did you doubt? You know, anytime that Jesus, you know, saw that the disciples couldn't do something that he thought or expected them to be able to do, you know, he called them people of little faith. And so he was never terribly impressed when people didn't exercise faith or didn't show faith. And he was never impressed with that. You know, so, and sometimes he even says, you know, why is it that you have no faith? So no faith to him. I mean, little faith and no faith to Jesus. It's about the same. I mean, the story that you see in Mark chapter 4, when he said, let's pass on to the other side. And Moses and Jesus went and slept in the boat. And then the storm arose against them. And then the disciples were panicking and they came to Jesus, and Jesus got up and rebuked the wind. Then he rebuked the disciples and he told them, how is it that you have no faith? You know, so, you know, he wasn't impressed at all. There are other places where he called it little faith, you know, when they should have been able to do something and they can't do it, you know, and then Jesus would say, well, why is it that you have little faith? And why is it that you don't have faith? You know, if you have little faith and you can really use it, it's good. But what Jesus really means by no faith at all, you know, is so tiny. But Jesus also in another place said, look, if you have tiny faith, because the disciples came to him and said, you know, increase our faith. And Jesus said, well, it's not about increasing your faith that matters. It is for you to use what you already got. If you can use what you already got, then that's all you need. So why are you fearful? In Matthew chapter 8, 26, he called a little faith. The one we read, the same story, you know, when which we read in Mark, he called it no faith at all. So Matthew reported it as little faith. Say, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. That's Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. So we see that that's there. And then we see that there are people, some people are always fearful, and Jesus didn't appreciate that either. He didn't appreciate it when we are fearful and when we have no faith. And he always challenged and rebuked the disciples when they did not exercise their faith. And then, but there are some other times that Jesus had, you know, saw tremendous faith. And I will get to that in a minute. But here's a story of Peter stepping out of the boat to go to Jesus, right? This story is in Matthew 14. When Jesus was walking on the water And they, you know, everybody saw, and they were scared. They said, it's a ghost. And Jesus straight away told them, this is Matthew 14 from verse 26. He told them, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter immediately said, well, if it is you, Lord, then bid me come on the water. And Jesus said, come. And so Peter, he come out of the water and walked, come out of the boat and walked on the water, just like Jesus. You know, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, so that was his first mistake. He did the right thing by stepping out of the boat, but he did not keep his eyes on Jesus. You must step out of the boat by faith, but you must keep your eyes on Jesus. So he looked away from Jesus and then saw the waves around him were boisterous. The waves were boisterous the whole time. The waves didn't just start to be boisterous. They were like that. But as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can keep walking, Peter. Keep on walking, Peter. Keep on walking. You know, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look to the left or the right. But he did. And he began to drown. And then he cried out. Well, it's always a good thing to cry out. You know, no matter where you are, you know, when your faith is failing, just cry out for his mercy. Lord, save me. Mercy always works. You know, so, and Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, so we see that little faith will lead to doubting. And doubting will, you know, will taint our faith. So it makes it be like little. When it's little, you know, it doesn't really please God. It's like, look, I expect more of you. So those are some examples of those that didn't have, you know, faith when they should have. But let's look at some other examples where Jesus was actually impressed. You know, these ones we just talked about so far, he was not impressed. But then there were some cases in which he was actually impressed. You know, here is a story. There's a story in Matthew chapter 10. You know, the man, you know, the story of the man that said, look, I'm a man under authority and all that, the centurion. So let's go read the story here. So the centurion met Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8 and said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, because Jesus had said he was coming. Speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. When I say to one, go, he goeth. I say to another, come, he cometh. And I tell my servant, do this, and he do it. So this man was using his own natural circumstances to figure out how things work. He said, look, I myself, when I'm a commander, I command people, they do it. So I understand that you also are a commander in the realm of the spirit. You just say the word, and it'll be done. You know, so it's good for us to use our circumstances to understand the things of God. You can look around nature and use it to try to understand, you know, great things about God. This man did. He looked around his situation. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, I have not found such great faith. No, not in Israel. So Jesus was marveled at this man's faith. We're told he marveled. So here's one situation in which Jesus was actually impressed. We're talking about all kinds of faith. But at the end, you know, our focus is going to be on unusual faith. But right now, I'm just bringing out all kinds of faith in the Bible. So let's look again at Matthew chapter 15. The story of the so-called, we call it a Syrophoenician woman. Sometimes we call her Greek. You know, sometimes, you know, whatever. And in some places you say the woman out of Canaan. In this place, he calls her a woman out of Canaan. You know, so Matthew chapter 15, the woman out of Canaan came out of the host, crying unto him and say, came out of the coast, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is grievously ill, with the devil tormenting her. Have mercy on me. But Jesus answered her not a word. Now let's begin to see some of these kind of unusual faith. He is walking in this woman's case. This woman, her faith was had many dimensions. She was relentless. She was resilient. She was persistent. She would not be denied. I mean, she would pierce the veil of time. Everything was in this woman's story about her faith. When Jesus didn't answer her, you know, the disciples said, look, send her away. It's bothering us. You answer her or you send her away. Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So already this woman did not belong to the house of Israel. That could have, you know, turned her away. That could have put her off. But she cried the more, worshiping him. And then Jesus tell her, look, I cannot take children's bread and give it to dogs. Well, that was enough to just send her away completely. The woman said, look, that's true. But even the dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from their table. This woman, didn't matter what Jesus said to her to get rid of her, she would not be denied. Glory to God. That's like a pit bull, a bulldog, something. She sank her teeth into that thing. She would not be denied. She would not turn loose until she got the blessing that she wanted. And Jesus said, my goodness, oh woman, great is thy faith. Now, here's another one where Jesus was impressed. You know, so we've seen two examples where Jesus actually said, you know, their faith was great. They were persevering faith. They persevered against all odds. You know, there are some other stories in the Bible like that. May not be quite so dramatic, but also they persevered. They had unusual faith. They hung in there with the word of God. Abraham was one. And his story is told to us in the New Testament. You know, this is how it's recounted in the New Testament. We know the story is in Genesis, but in Romans chapter 4, the New Testament recounts his story like this. He said, starting from verse 16, he said, he's talking about faith so that it can be, you know, faith and grace and all of these things. He said that if there is no faith, then the promise has no effect. And if it is just by the law, then grace has no real effect. So he's talking about it is of faith so that it might be grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. And then he started to talk about Abraham. You know, we read it. We pick the story up in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. He said, Abraham, we call him the father of us all. He said, God told him, I have made thee a father of many nations. And he believed God, who quickened the dead, and called all those things that are not as though they already are. Who, against hope, believed in hope. This is Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. That he might become father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Neither yet, you know, the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was 100. His wife was many years, maybe 90 before they finally got this child. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So we're talking about strong faith here. And for 25 years, he carried that promise, being fully persuaded that God who had promised was able also to perform. And he even changed his name to prove it. Prior to that, his name was Abraham. And he changed it to Abraham, is the father of nations, you know, father of many, and so forth. And when he changed his name, because the Lord gave him that revelation, just imagine all the people around him then. People in his community, the people of his friends, maybe even, you know, closer family or whatever. I mean, just imagine the people in his generation, what they might have thought of him. Say, a father of nations, for year after year after year after year after year, you're calling yourself father of nations, but show us one child, and then we will know that you will be the father of nations. I mean, how can you be the father of nations when you don't even have a child? I mean, we, look at us. Our children are around about us, and we got children, we got children's children, we got all these things. We don't even call ourselves Father of Nations. And you, being childless, you will be the Father of Nations. Are you now at this time going to do valiantly more than all of us put together? The people would have asked him these things. The Father of Nations indeed. And they would have mocked him. But he carried that Father of Nations tag everywhere he went for 25 years. He carried it. Man, you talk about some faith. To even change your name to prove it. But at the end of the day, we see the end of the Lord. Glory to God. My goodness. And today, we see still that. And the devil is still trying to wipe off that seed, but he can't do it. God said that seed will be as the sands of the sea. Glory to God. And it's not just the Jews. It's in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Abraham actually became not only the father of Isaac and, of course, eventually of Jacob and the patriarchs. He actually became the father of faith, you know, and in his seed, which is Christ, all nations, God gathered together all things in Christ. So everything actually falls right under that prophecy that God gave to Abraham. But he had unusual faith to be able to. Now, how many of you in your situation, you know, can do that? Is there something that you've been waiting for from God for 24 years and still declaring that it's going to be? I mean, still declaring it. After the first year, after the second year, after the third year, all the way to the 20th year, you are still declaring it. Even his wife, after some time, said, look, enough of this already. I'm getting old. This thing, I don't know. You know, I mean, we're hanging on to this thing. Just look, I don't know. I can't do this anymore. Why don't you go into my maid and maybe I'll have a child that way. Well, you listen to her, or maybe he shouldn't have, because we have all this problem today between the Arabs and the Jews, you know, and that problem is a long time problem. And one day, you know, if we get a chance to see Abraham, when we do, we say, well, maybe you should not have listened to Sarah. Look at all the problems that this thing caused for the people of Israel. And it's still causing till today. So anyway, but he hung on to that faith. He believed God and eventually came to pass. Can you say that you have believed God and that you're holding on to some promise that God gave you for 25 years and you're still declaring every day that you will be that thing? Now that's some unusual faith. That's somebody that has some real faith and he believed God and, you know, and it came to pass. Let's look at Caleb and Joshua. These people had unusual faith. You know, Caleb and Joshua, you know the story. We've talked about it here. They were the only two, you know, of the 12 that went to search out the land. The others came with an evil report. But these ones, they said, look, we can do it. These people are bred for us. Never mind the children of the Anakims. Never mind that they look like they have big stature or they look like giants. The land is good and we are able and God is with us and we will have them for lunch. Glory to God. They had some faith and Caleb came back in Joshua chapter 14, verses 7 to 14. Caleb came back to, you know, collect. Because Moses said, look, you two, yeah, the rest of them, the Lord said they will not enter in. So finally, when Joshua was dividing the land, Caleb came back and said, give me this mountain, because I wholly believe the Lord in the day that Moses sent you and I. And the others didn't believe, but I believe. Therefore, give me this mountain, he said. And he claimed it. And he got it. Because they went against all odds. It was of a truth that the people had giants in the land. It was of a proof that the people had big stature. And they looked imposing and threatening. But it was more of a truth that the Lord already said, go forward and possess the land. But the others didn't take that one. They just let their natural eyes and what they could see, you know, they let those things, you know, discourage them. But Caleb would not be discouraged. And he got it. And so when you read his testimony of his own exploits in Joshua chapter 14 and how he claimed the land that he wanted is what he claimed. And he said, give me this mountain over here. This is what I want. Because the man of God told me that I can get what I want. Glory to God. So I followed the Lord with all my heart. You know, and I believe God, you know, I am 85 years old today, but I'm still as strong as I was, you know, when I was 40. You know, when I went out for war and for this, I am still the same way today, you know, to be strong in the Lord, to do as I can do and as I used to do. Glory to God. And I follow the Lord. Therefore, give me this mountain, he said. you can read that in Joshua 14 and verse 12. And he claimed the land that he wanted and he got it, you know. And so Hebron was given to him and he believed it for God. You know, just these people had real faith. Joshua was a man with unusual faith himself. The one time he commanded the sun and the moon, you know, to stand still. They were fighting a fight. You know, Joshua was a man that fought. His own was, you know, swords and things like that. You know, he wasn't going to be doing too much of other stuff, but he's going to fight, you know, and get the people into the land. He's going to fight his way into it. So we see the story in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. They were fighting, but the sun was going down upon them, and they needed some more daylight in order to be able to finish the battle. So Joshua, in Joshua 10 and verse 12, he spake to the Lord. Remember what we read in Isaiah 45 and verse 11. It said, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Now this man, Joshua 10 and 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of all Israel, he didn't go to the corner to pray the prayer and see whether it will happen. No. I mean, there are some people called trailblazers in this Bible that they did things which nobody else has ever done, but somehow they believed God for it. You know, and this man, Joshua, he had never heard or seen anybody. I mean, he's seen some great things around Moses, but not stopping the sun and not stopping the moon. That was an ordinance that was going to keep happening. The sun would come up, it would go down, and all these things and so forth. But Joshua, he needed a little more sunlight that day. And he said, sun, stand thou still. Now, he was speaking to the sun and the moon, but the Bible says he was speaking to the Lord. That's right. Because the sun and the moon are the works of God's hands. And so he said, sun, stand thou still over Gibeon. And thou moon, stand thou still over the valley of Ajalon. Don't move. I need some more daylight to finish this battle. And the sun stood still. Glory to God. And the moon stayed. And even science has verified it. You know, they found some missing days. You know, in science, they verified even the time of Hezekiah that the sundial went backwards. It's been verified. You know, this man, he caused the sun to stay still. And he got several more hours that the sun did not go anywhere. You know, the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. You know, because Joshua, he commanded it. Now, you talk about some powerful and unusual faith that gets uncommon results. Now, that's one of them. You know, can you raise up your voice to heaven and cause the sun to stand still and not go down so that we have almost, you know, a whole day of extra daylight? Can you do it? Joshua did it. And not only that, the moon said, look, today, yeah, we're not following those ordinances. Today, I need some more time. And God honored, look, when you have that, you know, if you have this kind of unusual faith, God will honor your word as though it was his. God stood behind it. He honored it and he did it. And the Lord honored, and the Bible says, look at this comment, listen to this commentary that the scripture gives after that in verse 14 of Joshua chapter 10. And he said, there was no day like that before it or after that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man concerning even the works and things that are in heavens. You know, people didn't know how to do that, but this man somehow he figured it out and he did it. And it's called tremendous faith. It's what it is called. Unusual faith that gets unusual results. You know, so some people also develop this kind of stubborn, winning faith because of other things they've seen that God had done. They just remember how great things God had done and they use it to garnish themselves into some really great faith. David was such a person. The story in 1 Samuel 17, when he went up against Goliath, you know, how when he initially got there, when his father sent him to go and visit, remember David, we were talking about this the other day. David was the youngest of the children of Jesse, and he was confined to keeping the sheep. He never went to battle with the others. So occasionally his father would send him to take food to his brothers, you know, who are on the war front. But his role was the sheep, just keep sheep. So nobody ever knew that he could amount to anything. Because, you know, he's never been battle tested, they thought. That's what they thought. But they didn't know what he was going through. You know, he had gone through in that bush. So when he came there, and his oldest brother, Eliab, and the rest of them said to him, look, what are you doing here? I know the pride of your heart, that you want to come and spy out the battle. And David said, battle? I don't see any battle going on. I said, where is the battle? All I see is people cowering in the corners here. I hear a battle cry from, you know, these Philistines, but I don't see any battle going on. So don't tell me about any battle. The brother said, go home. You don't belong here. And David didn't even listen. He went around and said, look, what's going on here? He asked somebody else. What's going on here? He asked somebody else. And he said, well, this is it. This is it. This is it. And he said, well, so there's nobody, none of you can stand up and fight this guy. You're going to just let this guy blaspheme the armies of the living God like this? And well, said, look, this man has been blaspheming the armies of Israel all day long. David said, no, he's blaspheming the armies of the living God. So David immediately, he began to turn the thing into a spiritual fight. And he said, and as he was keep asking around, word got to the king that there's a young lad here. He's just asking all kinds of questions. Because David said, look, what's going to be done to the man who can bring this guy down and save Israel this day? And say, well, so they brought him before the king. King said, what's your name? He tells him. He said, who are you? What are you going to do? Everybody at that time, they are ready to try anything. I said, look, I can do it. So the king gives him all his armor and everything, puts everything on him. And David almost collapsed because the armor is too heavy. He can't even handle it. He said, no. I don't want any of this. Get it off of me. So he gets it off of him. Instead, the king said, don't worry about it. You know, you think I'm not trained. Because David, the king told him, you're not trained. This man has been trained from his youth and up. Hey, don't worry about it. I have some experience that you guys know nothing about. So he told of how he went up against the lion. And he told of how he went up against the bear. And you know, God was preparing him for this Goliath. Because I tell you what, when that bear rose up, you know, the bear, they go on their 4 feet and so forth, but they can stand up on 2 feet, you know, and rise up like that and pound their chest. And when this bear rose up against him like that, he was even bigger than this Goliath. So David said, look, I've seen the likes of this Goliath. I've seen a bear about his size or bigger. And I cut him down. And I will cut down this guy. He said, just give me some time. So he goes back to the place that he's comfortable with. Ladies and gentlemen, glory to God. You got to go back to that place. You know, that place, that secret place. So he goes back to that secret place. This was really the place where he said, he leads me beside the still waters. You know, he's my God, my rock. You know, I pass through the valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil. He played his little, thing there, you know, and he was always there before the Lord while waiting for the sheep to come back. And he would just be there. So he went there, picked out 5 stones from the brook. He knew that place well. And he said, well, with these 5 stones, this is good. You know, I can do business. Goes out against Goliath. Everybody says, are you kidding? His brothers are trying to hold him back. He said, leave me alone. You guys didn't do anything anyway. So he goes out before this Goliath. The man looks at him with disdain. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, you're coming to me with a rod and a sling. I'm going to give your flesh to the this and that. But, well, you know the end of the story. David won that battle. He was not scared. He did not care that the man looked 12 feet tall or whatever. It made him no difference. Yeah, I don't know how tall the guy was, but he said, look, I have dealt with a bear that's this big, you know, and I, you know, and maybe, I don't know, we don't know, but maybe David might have had some scars when he fought the lion and the bear. Somebody might have said, hey, where do you get these scars? He said, well, you should see the other guy. You know, so he was a man of faith. Young man, nonetheless, but full of faith. And he said, look, God had done these great things for me in the past. He used that to encourage himself for the present conflict. Now, what about this woman called the Shunammite woman? She is the one that said, it is well with my soul. And we sang that song at the beginning of this room today. Her story is in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 to 37. You know, you may know the story. And after her child died that Elisha prophesied that she would have, she said, saddle me an ass and let me go to the man of God. And she would not be denied. She told the guy, don't stop anything. Her husband even asked her, where are you going to the man of God today for? It's not the Sabbath day. It's not the new moon. Why are you going to bother him? Said, it is well. Her child was already dead. It shall be well, she said. But her child was already dead at that point. Now, you talk about some faith. Her child was dead. She's not talking to their husband. She's not stopping for anybody. She's going straight to the man of God. And she's going to get a hold of him. And she's not going to turn loose. And on the way, Elisha noticed that she's coming from where? You know, Elisha is always on the mountaintop. So he sees her coming from. Says, that looks like that Shunammite woman. You know, what's going on? You run and go and meet her. So his servant runs and goes to meet her. Say, is he well? She said, it is well. It is not well. As John is dead. But she said, it is well. Just let me get to the man of God. You know, so you talk about some faith. You know, she would not use her mouth to say anything negative. She would not say, you know, my son is dead. All she said is, it shall be well, and it is well. It is well, and it shall be well. You talk about some faith. And of course, this woman's story is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. You say it is? Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 11 says that some women received their dead raised back to life. This is one of them. You know, her story was there. So this woman had a tremendous faith to bring that child back. And he got a hold of the man of God and said, look, did I tell you not to promise me a child? Immediately the man knew that something had happened. And at the end of the day, she got her son back to life. Glory to God. Now, how many people can do that today? You know, I mean, if there's a loved one that died, can we in the face of death say it is well? You know, and just you stick out your guns and don't blink. I mean, you stick to your guns and don't let nobody tell you nothing differently until you get that person back to life. Can you do it? Well, these are unusual faith that gets uncommon results. What about Hezekiah? In the book of Hezekiah, chapter 30, Isaiah 38. You know, Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you will die of this sickness. You will not recover. You know, but you know, just take the next few days to put all your things in order, because you're definitely going to die. And this man said, well, he turned his face to the Lord and he prayed a prayer that caused the sun to go down 15 degrees, go backwards 15 degrees. Now, the sun's always going this way, trying to set. And they'd use the sundial in those days. That's all they had. They didn't have any of these computers and so on. So they used the sundial. They put they put a stake on the ground and look at the shadow and stuff like that. And they said they know how it's going. And so they see, they know how this thing is going down. But this man, he prayed a prayer. He reached out to God. He pleaded his cause. And God turned that thing backwards. 15 degrees. I mean, you don't cause the sun to go in the other direction. You don't do it. You can't do it. Can you do it today? Can you cause the sun to go in the other direction? Can you do it? This man did it, you know, and the sun went backwards 15 degrees. And God said 1 degree for every year, even 15 more years. My goodness. You talk about some faith. You know, what about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? You talk about fairy furnace faith. I mean, these young boys, they said, look, we don't care. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. We don't care if you hit up the thing 7 times. We will not bow down. How many people will do that today? Look, we're not careful to go and think about it or pray about it. Say, look, Nebuchadnezzar, he liked these boys. But he wasn't going to, you know, let anybody disobey his orders, you know, and make a fool of him in the presence of everybody. You know, when a king, a monarch, it wasn't just a king, it was a monarch. When he gives an order, everybody better obey it or your life for it. And these kids will not do it. And so Nebuchadnezzar was furious and he gave them one last chance. You know, if you will right now, just do this thing, your life will be spared. But if you don't, you know what's going to happen. And his kid said, look, you know, the king may do whatever he wants. We have decided in our hearts what we are going to do. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. He will deliver us. Now, that's some faith. Nobody can get out of that, you know, fairy furnace. Nobody can do it. But this boy said, look, we know that our God is able and he will do it too. This is, you know, I often tell people, I said, this part of your faith is non-negotiable. That second part is God's sovereignty. Now, this kid said, look, nevertheless, even if God, for whatever reason, best known to him, that's God's sovereignty, chooses not to do it, we already know he can and he will. So you must settle that in your heart, no matter what you are facing today or any day in the future. This is non-negotiable. You must settle in your heart that God can do it and he will do it. End of story. That one is non-negotiable. Now, it's up to him if he chooses not to do it. That's his business. But as far as I know, he will do it and he can do it and he will do it. And you know, as a young man, when I started to learn this thing called faith, which somehow, you know, I was born with it and I didn't know it. But, you know, I started to learn it when I realized that, look, you can believe God for anything. I said to myself, look, when I get to heaven by the grace of God, I want to be said that I believe God for everything and anything. Now, whether he did everything and anything, well, that's up to him. But for me, this is my part. For me, I am going to believe him for everything. I don't want it to ever be said, you didn't believe me for that thing. So I pray. I say, Lord, help me to believe God for everything. I don't care what it is. I must believe. Now, whether he chooses to do it or not, that's up to him. But for me, I know he can do it and I know he will do it. End of story. And I settled my mind. And I tell you what, there are some things that I believe God for that didn't happen quite like I thought. Did it change my position or my posture? Absolutely not. I continue with the same posture. In my mind, I believe God for everything and anything. And I let him do as he chooses. But for me, I believe God. Glory to God. So these kids, he threw them in the fire, heated up the thing 7 times. The flame consumed even those that were trying to throw them in. Because Nebuchadnezzar was, you know, standing a good distance of maybe in front of a fire shield glass or something. So anyway, the next thing he knows, he sees these people, you know, walking around loose. And they sees a fourth figure in their midst. Ooh. And Nebuchadnezzar said, did we not cast three folks into, bound, three men bound into this fire? How come we see them loose, walking around? The fire slew all the people that threw them in. And there's only one figure around with them, looks like the Son of God. How did he know that looked like the Son of God? My goodness. This young man, they had what we call fiery furnace faith. You know, they would not turn back, even at the penalty of death. So there's all kinds of faith that we're talking about today. And unusual faith that brings uncommon results, that gets them out of there. And Isaiah had said, look, Isaiah 43 and 2, when you pass through the fire, you're coming out on the other side and it will not even kindle you. And this boy said, well, God is able to do it. They knew that. And the Lord did it. Daniel, he was thrown into the lion's den. Nobody ever heard that anybody came out of that lion's den. You know, in fact, the lion used to make mastery of those people even before they hit the ground. You'll jump over them and tear them to pieces and finish them off. Because those lions were kept hungry. And so they throw anything down there, my goodness, that thing is gone. You know, before the thing even hits the ground. And but they did. They threw Daniel down there. Nothing happened to him. He just slept, had a good sleep, even lay down on the mane of, you know, some of these lions, they have these very heavy manes. It was a good pillow for him all night long. And then the king, who loved Daniel dearly, but he couldn't go back on his word, rushed there. He couldn't sleep all night. Rushed there and said, Daniel! You know, Daniel! Your God, whom you serve day and night, has he been able to deliver you? Calling out to Daniel. Daniel, you know, because in his heart, he's half hoping that something happened, you know, that Daniel will somehow escape. He's kind of half hoping that. And Daniel returned, King, I'm right here. The king shouted for joy. Say, oh my goodness. I knew it. I knew your God will save you. Get him out of there. Throw all those people that conspired against him in there. Of course, the lions finished them off before they got even to the ground. And he come out and the king said, Daniel, what happened? Tell me. I want to hear all about it. And I said, look, you know, in as much as there was no evil in my heart, you know, I was just serving my God and being faithful. And because I had made prayer a business with God and I was sticking with my prayer, time with my God, I did nothing wrong. You know it. These people conspired against me, but God saw no evil in me. So he sent his angel and closed the mouth. God sent an angel and closed the mouth of the... Tell me more about that. Glory to God. You know. So he comes out. Daniel tells him a few more things about the power of God. So this man comes out and says, I make a decree. Glory to God. Anybody in any of my dominions that take anything against the God of Daniel, let them be cut to pieces. Let them be thrown to the lion's den. My goodness. You talk about kingdom changing faith. A faith that can change culture of an entire kingdom. This one was a monarch. You know, these Darius and all these people. My goodness. They were monarchs. They ruled kingdoms, sir. But the faith of these people changed the culture. You know, it commanded people to serve the God of Daniel. You talk about some real faith. Glory to God. Now, Elijah. I mean, we can't tell stories like this without talking about Elijah. Even Elisha himself. Elisha, you know, these people had tremendous faith. They could do things. They could see chariots of fire when nobody else could see it. But this man, Elijah, I want to talk about translating faith for a minute. This man, Elijah, he would not, you couldn't kill this man. You could not kill this man. You know, you can send 50 prophets, I mean, 50, a band of 50 against you. You can't kill this man. And you talk about, you know, people who are persecuting the believers and throwing them. You've not met Elijah. if you meet this Elijah man, you can't touch him. This man, you send an army against, he called down fire against you and wipe you out. That's it. You can't touch this man. These people who mess around with, people, they've not met Elijah. When you meet Elijah, this is one man that's not, he doesn't mess around. He gonna call down fire. Call down fire on the first 50, wipe them out. They sent the second 50, call down fire, wipe them out. They sent the other, call down fire, he wiped them out. Finally, the other one came and said, beg for his life. I've heard what you did to the other. I beg you. You know, just come. You know, so he followed him. God said, follow him. It's not, no problem. You talk about some faith. This man, he can lock up heaven, throw the key away. Say, there will be no rain until I bring God again. That's it. End of story. He walks away and it's done. This man, you know, he can, everybody else can be, you know, dying because of famine, and he will be having room service, heavenly room service from ravens feeding him twice a day. This man, man, you haven't met Elijah if you don't know that these things can happen. And of course, you know, even when he was going to be translated, everybody, the prophets, the school of prophets, they knew it. They knew. Look, before it was translation, this man was even having bodily transportation here and there. Move from one place, he's gone. When this man came out and said, you know, saw one of the young men, my car, and said, go tell your prophet. I mean, go tell your king, Habab, that I'll meet you. I'll meet him today. The man said, please, don't do that. Did you not know how I have, you know, been kind and hid, you know, some of the God's people, you know, when Jezebel wanted to destroy them, and I hid them in a cave and fed them with water? Why are you trying to kill me? This king said to us, every time that somebody said Elijah was here and he came there and he couldn't find them, he destroyed all of them because the Spirit of the Lord had caught you away many times. You want to kill me? This time around, I'm going to be right here. So Elijah was somebody that was experiencing movement by the Spirit of God. God move him. People come against him. He just move him. By the time they got there, they couldn't find him. He's gone. I mean, you talk about some faith. You talk about faith going to heaven in chariots of fire. This man, you can't kill this guy until, you know, eventually, you know, at the end of the age, he comes back for one final mission. But this man is still alive. It's not dead yet. You could not. I mean, you talk about some faith. And when he was ready to go, everybody even knew it. They came to Elisha and said, do you know that your master will be taken off from your head today? So at the school of the prophets. Elisha said, hold your peace. I know it. You know, so they all knew it. And Elisha said, look, when you go, give me your double portion. Elijah said, that's a hard thing. I mean, one portion of Elijah's spirit alone, you can't even handle, let alone double portion. But you know the rest of the story. So these are men and women of God that have exercised some tremendous faith and how God honored their faith. So unusual faith leading to uncommon results. Jesus not having pleasure or being pleased with unbelieving and little faith and doubting faith and all kinds of faith. But today we've talked about faith that is relentless. You know, Genesis chapter 32, Jacob was there. He got a hold of the angel of the Lord and he said, look, nobody's going anywhere, you know, until you bless me. I mean, these are relentless, you know, faith that will not turn loose. I mean, can you say that of your kind of faith? When you get a hold of God, or you're trying to get a hold of God for anything you are believing God for, will you turn loose? or will you stay right there and not turn loose until he blesses you? I mean, we can elevate our faith. You know, this is how it works. It's really simple. Just believe God at his word. That's it. You know, I've been teaching this faith for many years. I've taught on faith specs, seeing a promise, being persuaded of it, embracing it for your situation, and confessing it. I've talked on the oracles or the principles of God. I add three more principles to those faith specs, and maybe I'll do it in one of these rooms, on one of these early mornings. You know, how you can approximate 100% all the time of anything that you are asking God for, how to do it, you know. And today, our topic has been on unusual faith and uncommon results. And if this has been a blessing to you, let me hear your voice. Come to the platform and share it. Also, I want to hear a testimony, either along those lines or anything that the Lord has done for you. It always encourages testimonies. Remember that testimonies of the Lord, these are really the Lord's testimonies about what God did in your life. They are sure, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are steadfast. You know, the law of the Lord is pure, converting the soul. But his testimonies, they are sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you all. This is Pastor Yato, and I will be pausing my admonition here. And I want you to come and give your reaction. Let us know how you are walking with faith in your life. You know, how these things work for you. I mean, do you have faith? What kind of faith do you have? Do you have little faith? It's not a thing of pride. And it's not a thing of false humility. Jesus didn't care about those little faith. He wanted them to have power with their faith. And when he saw great faith, he loved it. You know, so I've shown you today that there's no need for us to try to be modest and say, well, you know, if God wants, he will heal me. If God doesn't want, he won't heal me. Well, you won't get anything that way. You know, say so if God wants you. No, you got to sink your teeth into it and don't turn loose. And that's the kind of thing that really moves God. Command ye me concerning the works of my hands. If you know how to do it, he told Job, do you know how to raise your voice to the ordinances of heaven and set the dominion upon the earth? Absolutely. You know, by that, him asking those questions, we actually realize that things that happen on earth are set first in the heavens. So if you want things done, you know, get some real power in the heavens. You know, do you know that the powers of darkness, they understand these things? The people of the world that play into sorcery and witchcraft and evil, they understand this thing. But the children of God, they don't understand it. The Bible says the children of this world are wiser in their generation. They know these things. They know that real power, you know, it's in the spirit realm. They understand it. So for you to have some real power with God, you got to understand how these things work in the spirit realm. You know, how you can transcend even time. How when people say, even when the Lord said, look, it's not time. I can't give it to dogs. The woman said, no, you know, and she would not be denied. You know, when David went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the priest, and they said, there's no bread here except the bread for, you know, the show bread and, the, you know, and so forth. And only the priest can eat this. We can't give it to common people. David said, look, the bread is common. Give it to me already. You know, he would not be denied. You know, none of these things. You have to walk in this kind of faith daily, practicing this kind of walk with God. Just taking God point blank at his word. You know, and that's it. God has said it. I'm going to repeat the same thing. End of story. And don't worry about how it's going to come to pass. You know, you just believe God and God will surprise you every single time. And there is no way that we can figure out all the ways that God can do things, you know, because he's infinite. He will do it too. All God is looking for is somebody that will believe the Lord. And you know, if you believe God, do you know actually what happens when somebody believes God and the rest of the people don't? Read it in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. This is what happens when, and God always has a remnant. You know, I don't care if the whole people in the world is not going to believe. God will have one person, always, at least one person that will believe God. You know, and by faith, Noah, Hebrews 11 and 7, being warned of God of things not yet seen. And God said, the rain is coming. I want you to build the ark. And Noah began to tell the people, but they laughed him to scorn. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which act he condemned the world. So when immediately one person believes, they condemn everybody else. Glory to God. And there will always be one person that will believe. And in my generation, if there's only one person that will believe, it's going to be me. Because I'm going to believe God. What about you? Will you believe God? When Noah believed God, he condemned the rest of the world because he believed God. Now, if nobody else believed, maybe they will all be in the same boat. But God will always have a remnant that believes. You know, there will always be one person that will believe God. And the moment that one person believes God, like Noah here, he condemned the rest of the world. Glory to God. And so the Lord is coming again. Some people say, well, you know, I mean, since the fathers fell asleep and so on, you know, things have been the way they were. You keep telling us that the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. You know, we don't know about that. Well, all it takes is one person that will believe God. My goodness. And then the rest are condemned. So will you believe God? Will you step out of the boat? But when you do, you got to step out of the boat by faith, but you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't look around to the waves. You got to do these things. Can you, in the face of death, say it is well with my soul? Can you say it? These are the things we have read here today. Can you go up against giants and things that everybody else is cowering before? They're all cowering in the corner. And can you come out there, you know, and say, the Lord will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand today because he has blasphemed the name of the Lord. Can you be a champion for God? Hallelujah. God wants those kind of champions. God wants a man that can go, you know, Elisha, after Elijah was taken up, he saw him, the mantle fell on him. He saw it. He got that mantle, he got to the River Jordan, you know, that was overflowing and all that. He put that mantle down and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The river split in two, just like that. And God tells me to tell you today, let's ask that question today. But let's ask the question a little differently. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? God said, well, I'm right here. But where are the Elijahs of God? Where are the Elijahs of God? God's right here. If you can believe God like Elisha did, and believe God and challenge God, and God said, I'm right here. There's no respect of persons. Elijah, believe me, I did those things. You can believe me and I'll do the same things for you. Hallelujah. We've read all these examples of faith today. By faith, people had tremendous things. You know, the Bible says that by faith, they quenched the fiery furnace and so forth. You know, all these stories were written in the book of Hebrews 11. All these great things that people did. They escaped the edge of the sword. You know, they had their children raised back to life. They escaped, you know, lion's den and so forth. They escaped the fiery furnace. It's all in Hebrews 11. By faith, they did it. They came out. They were conquerors. They were more than conquerors. They believed God. But God, with all of those, their exploits, God, you know, many of them still did not get that final promise because God kept something for us at the end of the age. That these people subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to fly the flight of the enemies. Women received their dead raised again to life. We read that already. You know, and so on and so forth. I mean, but yet they could not, you know, obtain a good report, but they did not obtain the promise. because God has provided some better thing for us. I mean, you are talking of, I mean, you want to match your faith with some of these people? You want to think that God, you know, can reserve better thing for us? Absolutely. It's not in you, it's in God. God is the one that does these things. Don't look to yourself as if, you know, it's in you. If you look to yourself, you'll fail. But you look to God. Look unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be ye safe, for I am the Lord. I stretch forth the heavens alone by myself. My hands, even my hands have done these things. I form the light and I create darkness, you know, and I bring good and evil. And I can look to everyone that is proud and bring them down. Glory to God. I do all these things, saith the Lord. Yeah, he is the Lord. Can you believe him? You know, so let me hear your thoughts on this morning. Come on and share something. I mean, you said something in your soul. Come and share it. Sister Tricia, God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Pastor Yatu, Mother Iban. Good to see you both and love you both very much. I didn't even know if I could add to this powerful message and one of my favorite topics today and of all times, because I am definitely, I would say I'm a woman of faith, that there are so many times that, you know, things happen in life that come to cause our faith to kind of waver, When I identify with faith, faith to me is believing not only that God is, because in so many situations, so many people that I know, including myself, I've been in areas where, you know, just like Job, he said, Father, I believe, you know, I believe, right? I believe you're God, but help my unbelief. So believing God, there are so many times that we believe God for other people, but we can intercede, we can pray for so many. And it's so hard sometimes because self is a blinder, right? To believe God concerning ourselves and our own situations. And you were just saying, you know, not focusing on you, not focusing on self. Just like when Peter stepped out of the boat, he looked at the storm, you know, when Jesus was trying to get him to focus on him so that he could stay above waters. And so many scriptures, I hope the replay is on. Yes, it is. So many scriptures you reference, my God, in the Bible, in the word, in the instructions that God has given us to have this type of faith. But I'm going to say what gets in the way sometimes is the condemnation. It's the condemnation. When we condemn ourselves, we don't think that we're worthy enough. We don't think we deserve what Susie and John have up the road, the beautiful home, the beautiful family, the children, the husband, the wife. You know, we see others being blessed in areas of finance, in their health, you know, so many different, we're so busy focused on them instead of being focused on what God can do for us. Having this type of radical, my God, the topic, uncommon, unusual faith that brings forth, that births forth these uncommon results. And I was thinking of, and I go back to, like I said, my identifying with faith was, faith is believing God is, but not just that God is, but that God can and that he will do it for you, that he will do it for your children. It's applying. To me, faith is a movement. I know that God is God, right? I believe that God is God, but do I believe that he can? Do I believe that he can concerning me, concerning my situation? Am I making it personal? For me, do I believe that I deserve it, right? That I deserve this because God chose me And I decided I would surrender my life to him and he would be my Lord. So do I now believe that he is Lord over my life and Lord concerning my situation and everything concerning me and mine and my family and my finances and my health? So it's faith that God will do it. It's that he will do it. And, that condemnation, I think, is the block in so many areas. And I think that's why, you know, God says, be soberly minded. Be soberly minded. Because the enemy comes, right? He comes to weaken that area of faith when we're living in sin. And there's things that we may do that might be unpleasing to God. We don't believe that God has forgiven us. We're still condemning ourselves. So we go into this hiding place internally, and it's difficult for us to believe God concerning ourselves and making that thing personal. And I also thought about, God, this was so rich. Mark 2 verses 9, where he says, he was speaking, to the religious, of course, Pharisees. And he said, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. You know, so that condemnation, I have to say this because I think that is a stronghold. That is an area that just gets in the way of us not just believing God is, but that he will. That new level of faith, that now faith, right? And believing that you are a child of the Most High, made in his image and likeness, fearlessly and wonderfully made, chosen by him. God wants to bless us in these areas. God gave each of his children a measure of faith, so that we can then reconnect that measure back to him, so that he could reignite that and set a fire in us, right? So that that faith can be alive and begin to move, because faith is a movement that we have to walk out. It is a walk. It is a movement. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Abraham, my God, he believed God. He chose to believe God. There's just so much power in everything that you spoke, and it needs to be applied every single day. So I just thank God for you in this powerful word that you ministered, that you released today. I feel, my God, the seeds. I feel watered. I feel watered today. I feel a refreshing today with this now faith that was released in this room. It's another level. It's another level, and it set a fire in me. So thank you so much, Pastor Yatu. I love you very much, and may God continue to bless you in all that you do for his kingdom.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Tricia. And I'm going to make some comments on your comments in a bit, but I didn't realize that it's the top of the hour and my wife had to go to another room. Are you still here, Ani? Can you speak quickly before you go?
Yes, I'm here. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you so much. I appreciate this message. Thank you, Sister Tricia, for adding on to this beautiful, beautiful message of faith and, believing God and focusing our eyes on him. For our eyes are upon him. Our eyes are upon him for everything that we're doing. You know, we are dealing with a great, mighty God that created the heavens and the earth. You know, when we see the works of his hand, when we just behold how great he is, then our little tiny problem will be nothing to us. So I just thank God for this room. Thank God for the man of God. Thank you for my husband that has, uplifted our faith to believe God for anything, to focus our eyes on him, you know, and to know that there's nothing that he cannot do. So my eyes, my faith is pumped up, things that I'm praying for, And I know that by faith I receive them. Even before I get them, I believe honestly that I have received them and I have them in the name of Jesus. I thank God again for the remembrance. You say, put in remembrance, you know, all these things that you know. We have no. Let us keep reminding ourselves to begin to exercise our faith. You know, God wants us to exercise this faith. He has given it to us for a purpose. So I thank God again for this room. And everyone in this room, I acknowledge you. I bless the name of the Lord for your lives and for listening. And we pray that this word, you know, we mix with faith in our hearts. Yes, and we would do great things. We will do exploits in the name of the Lord. Thank you again for allowing me to speak, and I will mute my mic at this point. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, honey. I know you have to go to the other prayer line, and God bless you. Love you. And thank you, Sister Tricia, also for what you shared. Listen, I'm going to bring a topic. I'm just going to say it in about 5 minutes. Something that I take a whole lot of time to say and that is so pertinent, you know, but I want to talk about the embracing of God's promises for the situation that we are in. You know, I've taught it in this room. I've taught it in other places. I call it my faith specs, and it's taken out of Hebrews 11 and 13. I love to use acronyms when I teach on faith, and there is an acronym that I curated out of that Hebrews 11, 13. And the acronym is S-P-E-C for spec. So it says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off. So that's the S. And I often say, look, for your faith to be real potent and powerful and to have this kind of effect that we're talking about today, you got to follow these principles. One, see the promise. It may still be afar off, but see it. That means search the scriptures and find a promise. You got to see the promise in the word of God. Why? Because Lamentation 3:27 says, who is it that saith and it comes to pass? You know, when the Lord commands it not. Lamentation 3:37. You cannot just be commanding things that the Lord, or saying things and having them come to pass when the Lord has not commanded them. You know, so that's Lamentation 3:37. So now that's the S. So take a minute or an hour or a day, I don't care how long, and convince yourself of the scriptures that relate to what you're praying about. Search the scriptures. That's the S. See the promise. Then the P is to be persuaded. We read already in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, how, you know, Abraham was persuaded and how he didn't, you know, he didn't stagger at the promise of God and all that. He was persuaded. So you got to be persuaded. Now, seeing the promise is easy. All you got to do is find a promise that thousands of promises in this Bible. Find something specific to the one that you are dealing with, the situation you're in. And there are even some other generic promises that cover just about everything. Now, most promises carry a condition. So you got to be careful, you know, when you are doing that, because the promise might say, if, then this. So if the promise says, if, then make sure you carry out the if portion. Now, once you know the promise, and then you do the, you know, you are persuaded of it. And most believers are persuaded that God is able. It reminds me of something I said and something Tricia said, and even my wife said, God is able. You know, we all know that. Even the devil knows that and he trembles. You know, so that's also not too difficult. E, which is embrace, that's the part that is difficult most times. Sister Tricia said this also, and I've said this oftentimes. And sometimes, you know, like she said, the condemnation in our heart may prevent us from embracing the power of God for the moment. You know, or our belief system may prevent us from embracing the power of God for the moment. Classic story is in this, the conversation of Jesus with Martha at the graveside of Lazarus. John chapter 11. When Jesus said that, you know, to Lazarus, he said, look, if you can only believe it, you'll see the power of God. And she, you know, began to say that, look, you know, he that liveth and believeth in me, you know, shall not die. And said, believest thou this? And asked a point blank question. But she went on a rant. Well, I know that you are the Christ and you are the this and that. And my brother will rise in the resurrection and so forth. And Jesus said, look, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm right here. I'm not talking about all of that future stuff. I'm right here, right now. Do you believe this? See, that's the difficult thing. Everybody, any kind of believer, believes that God's able to raise the dead. We all believe that. We read it multiple times in the Bible. We may even have heard of it, you know, in our generation somewhere. But, you know, when it comes to our situation, God forbid that, you know, somebody should die in the family. Are we going to believe God for this? Do you believe this? Not, you know, so that's the embrace part. That's the part that is difficult. But if you can embrace God for the moment and for the thing, then the last part of it is the sea, which is, and they confessed that they were pilgrims and they were looking for something else. Strangers and pilgrims. So SPEC, I call it my faith specs. If you can walk those simple principles, find a scripture for it is the S, be persuaded that God is able to do it and embrace it. Not only that he is able and that he will, embrace it for the particular situation. Don't generalize it, generalize things. Well, we know God's able to do all things. We know that. Well, yeah, but can he do it? And will he do it for this thing? Believest thou this? And then once you embrace it, then you begin to confess it. End of story. Just begin to confess it. Change your name to prove it. Abraham did. Change his name to prove it. Confessed it for 25 years. I will be the father of nations. I don't care what you guys think. Glory to God. You know, so once you begin to confess it, look, if you are sick and you've been prayed for, you behave like you're well. Begin to confess it and so on and so forth. You know, that's how you do it. These elements are what I call faith specs. And if you know how to do it like that, and I, you know, I've been teaching on the, you know, principles of the oracles of God. There are seven of them. These are four, three others. And I won't go to that today, but I'll leave that there. If you can believe God based on his word, you are persuaded that God is able to do and will do. Then you embrace it for the particular situation. Not, we know God has done it for others. We have read it in the Bible that he has done it. But is he going to do it in this my situation? Can I believe God? God has done some things for you. He helped you out of the lion's paw, helped you out of the mouth of the bear. Is he going to help you in this case against Goliath? You know, can you embrace it for the present conflict? You know, that's the situation that the children of Israel found themselves many times. You know, God had done these great things, brought them out with a mighty hand out of Egypt, you know, made them see incredible miracles, even at the Red Sea and so forth. But then when a little challenge comes up the way there's no water to drink here and there, you know, then they begin to grumble and limit the Holy One of Israel. You know, so you embrace it for this situation and begin to confess it. These four literal steps, they are so powerful that it can transcend you into what will get you uncommon results. For you to get uncommon results, you're going to have to use unusual faith. And remember, you know, as we give a summary to the lesson today, Jesus was not impressed when people either didn't have faith or they had shaky faith. He wasn't impressed. He used to rebuke them. How come did you doubt? Why are you so fearful and why are you of so little faith? But when they had tremendous faith, he was impressed. He would say, my goodness, I've not seen so great faith in Israel. No, not in the whole house of Israel. He said to the centurion. And he also said to the woman who would not be denied, even though he tried everything, and said, no, I will still get the crumbs out of the that fell from the table. He said, wow, great is thy faith. And a few times like that, Jesus said, you know, people really had tremendous faith. And we looked at some examples in the Bible, like Joshua, who stopped the sun and the moon. And the Bible said that never did God, you know, honor a man's word like that. You know, you can stop the, you know, the elements, stop the sun from going down, stop the moon and all these things. And yeah, it's there. You can do it too. You know, so God, you know, he enjoys when people step in faith. When Peter said, "Is that you, Lord? Is that you? If it is you, let me tell me." And Jesus said, "Yeah, come on, Peter." You know, Jesus loves people to take the challenge. You know, take the challenge. Step out of the boat by faith, but you got to keep your eyes upon the Lord. You know, so and Peter, you know, people said that what Peter doubted. What Peter did a whole lot better than the rest of them. At least he walked on the water for a few steps. You know, the others wouldn't do it. But Peter stepped out of that boat. He walked on the water for a few steps before he began to sink when he looked around. You know, so when you step out of that faith, out of that boat by faith, you must keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't look around. Don't care about the boisterous waves. Keep your eyes dead center on Christ. I said, come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. You know, and then when you begin to look around, say, I can't walk on water, blah, 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 blah. And then you begin to, water begin to go down to your lungs because you look around and say, I can't do this. You know, yes, you can. Jesus say you can. Come on, Peter, you can do this. Glory to God. So let's faith arise in our hearts. Look, don't stay down there and say, well, I don't have faith. And don't let sin consciousness, that's what Sister Tricia was talking about. You know, I preached on this multiple times. Sin consciousness, it's a dangerous thing. You know, the devil will use it against us. We will use it against ourselves. People will use it against you. You know, they leave the people wounded like that. They'll tell them you are no good. You can't do anything. You yourself will tell yourself, you know, devil will tell you and all of that. But he looked beyond my fault. Ha, glory to God. The Lord, he looked beyond all of that. Moses looked all around him at Mount Horeb in Exodus chapter 3. And all he saw was bush and dirt and lizards and leaves and sand and rubbish. But God said, no, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Glory to God. You got to get rid of that condemnation. It's looking at things as rubbish when God calls it holy ground. When God is in the situation, it is holy. When God is in your life, he calls you holy ground. You are the holy temple of the Lord if you have a Holy Spirit. God will not dwell in rubbish. You know, so stop looking down at yourself and thinking that you can't do it. God said you can. Jesus knew the disciples could handle the storm. That's why he went to sleep. He wasn't bothered. He knew the storm was coming, but he knew the disciples could handle it. Or he expected the disciples to handle it. That's better. You know, so that's why he was disappointed when they couldn't handle it. But he knew they could have handled it. All they had to do was just ride out the storm. That's all. You know, it's not every time that God has to, you know, remove the storm. No. Sometimes you might go right into the eye of the storm. That's okay. The storm is doing your thing, but you are going to the other side. On the other side of through is what Jesus said. We'll meet you on the other side. He said, let us go to the other side. Let us pass through the storm. You're already going to be on the other side because Jesus said it. Don't worry about what happens along the way. If you believe God, the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm coming out on the other side because he already knows he's going through. When you pass through the rivers, when you pass through the fires, Isaiah 43:2, you know, you're not going into the water and you're not going into the fire. You are passing through. So you're coming out on the other side. And I often say people say this too. When you ask them, hey, what's going on? I say, well, I'm going through some things right now. And anytime somebody tells me that, I quickly latch onto it and I say, well, by your own admission, you already said you are coming out on the other side. You know, if you had said, well, I'm going into some things right now, I say, that is a dead end. But people say, well, I'm going through. And everybody's always going through. Are you going through today? Are you coming out on the other side? Glory to God. We are coming out. and let your faith rise. You know, practice your faith in little things. Practice your faith, because Jeremiah 12 and 5 will tell you, if you contend, I mean, if you run against footmen and you can't win, how are you going to contend against horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein you trusted, you still fail, what are you going to do when all Jordan, you know, overflows his banks and all hell breaks loose? So, you know, we must win every little thing. You must climb every mountain. You must subdue everything. And my wife said something that reminds me of something the Lord showed me in the spirit some years ago. He said, look, your little problem is nothing compared to the Lord that created the universe. And that's exactly true. Lord showed me this in the spirit. Consider that you are standing, you know, at the very bottom of a tall mountain. You know, because of the elevation, you can't really see the top. You have to move really back, far back, before you can see the top. You can't stretch your neck to see the top if you are right at the bottom of it. So I saw myself standing at the bottom of the mountain, but I couldn't see the top of the mountain. You know, but when I was instructed to move back far enough with the gradient of my eyes to see the top of the mountain, my goodness, what do I see? There's this colossal figure that is standing over astride, his feet astride that mountain. And he is so huge that the mountain that looks so big to me looks so little compared to him. You know, that's it. You know, so, you know, when you remove your eyes from the mountain or the present situation, but put your eyes on the Lord, you will see how God dwarfs the mountain that seems so big to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been our lesson today. And God bless everyone for joining us. And I say to you, how is it with your soul today? Is it well with your soul, Cynthia? Is it well with you, Patricia? Mommy, is it well with you? Michelle, is it well with you? Bree, is it well with you? Yes. Is it well with you, Mary? Is it well with you, Sam? And Gigi, is it well with you? Kolapo, is it well with you? Is it well with you, Julia? And is it well with you, Alexis? And Tricia, is it well with you? Yes.
Hallelujah.
It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. That was the question I started asking everybody as they were coming into the room at the beginning of the room. And I'm asking you again at the end of the room, is it well with your soul?
Pastor Yachi, before you close out.
Go ahead.
Can I say one thing? I love how you unction us to come into agreement with you in it being well in our soul. In it being well, because what we say is what we shall have. And I love how when I came in the room, you unctioned me to come into agreement immediately by asking me, Tricia, is it well in your soul? Is it well with your husband? And I have to respond to what you're saying, right? Because God said, whatsoever you say. So immediately that agreement and coming out of agreement with the enemy and anything else I could have been thinking about, my God, I got right back into alignment with what Jesus said so many times. It is well with you. It is well. It was well. My God. And that word is a now word. It's a now word. Is right now moment. And I just feel like we have to just become more like Jesus was. Jesus was perfected in love. He was love, right? He was the word. He was love. And we have to sometimes, you know, and God says perfect love cast out all fear. We have to tell the enemy, as Jesus did when he was on the mountain after he fasted 40 days and the enemy even came and tempted him. He said, it is written. The word was already sent. The word had already been sent out. He said the word was made flesh. The word healed them. All of this is by what God has already spoken. So we have to believe that it's here right now. Everything that you ministered in this room, my God, is a now word The word was already sent. The word healed them. My God. And because it was sent. So it believing that it is now and taking hold of that word and what God already spoke and believing it for ourselves. And like I said, being as Christ was in him, we live and move and have our being. So we also speak what Christ spoke. He said, it is written. So concerning our lives, it is already written. And that is what we need to say concerning our situations, what the Lord has already spoken. It's another level of faith. And I'm just so grateful that I came in this room. Thank you so much again, Pastor Yatu. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Trisha. That is so, so true. You know, speak his word only. You know, speak what he's already said. You know, that's the way to do it. The quickest way to our answer or for anything is we say, we repeat his word, what he's already said. And remember, as I often say, Psalm 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So those powerful angels, they are on standby. They are waiting for you to give voice to God's word. And when you give voice to God's word, they go into action. We don't command the angels directly. We can't do that. But when we speak his word, Psalm 68 verse 11 says, when God speaks the word, great is the company that publishes it. So when you speak his word, you repeat what God's already said. Those angels, they go into action. Glory to God. Now remember, if you remember nothing else, remember this today. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28. Thus saith the Lord, as I live, truly, as I live, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. So let's take that word with us today. What you say is what the Lord's going to do. So be careful now. Don't say anything negative. Because if you say negative things, and these people said negative things, say, we can't do it. We can't go up to the land. We can't. We will get grasshoppers. They will consume us. And I said, fine. As you have said, that's what I would do. The other two say, oh, no. We can do that. We are more than able. We will have these people for lunch because the Lord is with us. And Lord say, yep, you will do it too. You know, so let's remember that, you know, that we will always say only what the Lord has already said. And when you speak, remember, the Lord is listening. As you have said in my ears, so shall I speak also unto you, saith the Lord. So that's how we are going to close our room today. I want to remind you, just a quick room reset, that by the grace of God, we are here. Every morning now is when we are here, right? So it's morning time. You know, grand rising time for us here in Arizona. And we start this room at 4:15 Arizona time. For West Coast time in the U.S., it's 3:15. It's really early. You have to really mean it to be here. You know, but Eastern time is 6:15. It's a little bit better for them. U.K. time is 11:15. That's even much better. Nigeria time is 12:15. That's even so much better. And there's other parts of the world that are further ahead by the time that we start. But we come out here in the morning and give our first fruits unto him. Bless the name of the Lord. So when we do that, and I just posted that scripture for you. You know, take that with you today and remember that what you say before the Lord is what he's going to do. Right? We read the story of Joshua that we read. He was speaking to the sun and the moon, but the scriptures say he said he was speaking to the Lord. But what he actually said, he was speaking to the sun and the moon. He said, sun, stand over there. Moon, stand over here. But the Bible says he spoke to the Lord. So what you are saying, you are saying it to the Lord. The Lord's hearing it. As you have spoken it in mine ears, so will I do unto you. So let me ask you again. Is it well with your soul today? Is it well with you? Glory to God. It is well. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. God bless you. I'm going to pray over this room now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the word that we have shared today. Thy word, O Lord, will not return unto you void. It'll prosper in the thing that you please. It will accomplish the purpose whereunto it is sent. The purpose today is to elevate our hearts and our minds. To stir up, say, stir up that which was already in you. We stir up everybody by putting us in remembrance today of the things which we already knew. And the scripture says, take heed to the things which you once knew, lest at any time you should let them slip. So Lord, we thank you for thy word today. Let it be an igniter of faith in our hearts. Let it be a rekindler of the flame in our souls today in the name of Jesus. And let us go out today. The Bible says that I will go in the strength of the Lord, the psalmist said. And I will make mention of his righteousness, his power. Will I show to this generation thy glory to everyone that is to come. Let us show and shine your glory, Lord. As we go through our day, let us walk in faith. Let us walk in favor. Let us walk with the mind of the Lord. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And I say to you today, do you have the mind of Christ? Open your mouth and say, I have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, my goodness, God will be bringing to pass words that are coming out of your mouth. Because out of the deep treasure of your heart, you will bring it out. You bring out good things. Hallelujah. You will not bring out evil things. You will not bring out lying, sorcery, adultery, and all these things, murders and so forth. But you will bring out good treasure from your heart, because you know the word of the Lord. Your heart is aligned with his word. And I pray for everyone that's come into the room that are here currently, those that have been here, and those that may listen to the replays later on. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And may you grow in grace. May you grow in faith and power. Hallelujah. And quit ye like men. You know, be a pushover for the devil. You know, rise up, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Go forth and do exploits in his name. For the people that do know their God, Daniel 11 and 32, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Let's go forth and let's do exploits in his name. Exploits of faith. Let us have, let our faith rise to the level of unusual so that we can receive uncommon results. And I tell you, folks, the Bible says that one saint spoke to another concerning the name of the Lord. And the Lord heard it and wrote a book of remembrance before him. This book of faith that was written in Hebrews 11 is still being written. Now, what are the things that are being written concerning you? You know, oh my goodness. What is being written about you? Is it written about you that you are believing God for all things, you know, all things around you, all things with which you have to do? Is that your testimony? Is that the testimony that is being written about you? I pray that that's your testimony. I pray that you are conquering. You're going forward to conquer and you're conquering. You are climbing every mountain. I pray that nothing is stopping you on your way. Open ye the gates for the people of God today and let the righteous nation go in. The gates are open for you today. I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus that your minds are clear. I declare that you have the power, hallelujah, of the spoken word in your mouth. This word shall not depart out of your mouth. And when you speak it, God will honor it. Glory to God. All day today, let your heads be lifted up, for he is your glory and lift that up of your head. And I pray that you have a blessed day, a wonderful weekend, and so on and so forth. And as you prepare for the holidays, let your faith be energized. You know, the holiday season is a time that brings depression to a lot of people because they can't be around, you know, maybe their families or loved ones, or they don't have this or that, you know, so, but let your joy be full and be buoyant and be abundant in the mercies of the Lord. Let your cup be running over. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory, even this morning, in Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. And we will be concluding the room. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Look for us again tomorrow. If you are not yet following, give a follow to Lady Emma or myself. When we open these rooms, you'll be notified. Or follow the House of Faith or the Walking with God, whatever club we do things on. Best thing, follow us. You get notification. And if you're on Clubhouse and you happen to see this room, you know, if you want to be there, then join us. Join us tomorrow morning about the same time. You know, we'll be here in about 22 hours from now. By the grace of God, we'll be here again. And I believe we'll have multiple rooms actually tomorrow because it's Saturday. We may actually have multiple rooms on Clubhouse tomorrow. So I may do this room. We'll do this in the morning. We may do another midday room, and we'll have our marriage ministry room also. You know, it's a busy day on Saturday, our Clubhouse day for us. And God bless you and have a wonderful day. And keep the fire burning, as it is written in Leviticus 6 and 12. Lay wood upon the altar every morning and let the fire never go out. So peace be upon you all and shalom, everyone. God bless you. We'll now be closing the room in 5. Thank you for joining. 4, 3, 2. And don't forget, the replays are on. The replay will be available in about 5 or so minutes after the room closes. And if you missed anything, you can get it back on the replay. God bless you all. Room is closing now. Have a great day, everyone.